GM, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Bankless Africa podcast. Today, I am joined by a very interesting guest who will be talking about Mazuma GPT, a service that generates smart contract code from natural language prompts. And so we are excited to have Kofi in the building. Yo, Kofi, what's up? Welcome to the Bankless Africa podcast.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you to the Bankless Africa team. Really exciting to be here to share more about what we are building and all the exciting things we have for the community.
Thank you. We're excited to have you here. And by the way, today I'm your host, Think Decade. And so, Kofi, what we usually do is that we start by delving a bit deep into our guest's history and how they got into the Web3 space. So could you share with us how you got here?
All right, thank you for that. So just a brief history about myself. Personally, I've been a founder for close to about 6 or 7 years now. Unlike some of the other, should I say, Web3 purists, I didn't necessarily start out in the Web3 space. And the angle was trying to focus on building dev tools in the Web2 space. But very quickly, I realized that we had a lot of products on our table, which could also extend to the Web3 market. So that's how that started out from. The focus was on building APIs and dev tools for this market. So personally, on the Web3 side, the first time I ever interacted with anything Web3 was when I first heard about Silk Road. I read this article on Forbes about how the Silk Road founder was using Bitcoin to essentially sell anything that he could on the internet. And I thought that was really interesting. I was like, I mean, everything that he's doing is clearly and purely wrong by all standards. I think he was later indicted by the FBI. But to be frank with you, the novelty and the ingenuity and how he actually executed that was quite, you know, refreshing. So I was like, you know, what is the underlying technology that allowed this guy to be able to run this? That was what was more of interest to me. How can you do it in a legal manner, in a sustainable manner, that would actually bring benefit to people? So that's what made me start learning about the Web3 community as a whole. But it wasn't until much later, on a couple of years later, that he actively decided to build products for that market. And it was purely based on, should I say, user feedback and iteration. We wanted to understand how can we actually build sustainable projects, you know, that actually help the community, rather than just, you know, creating another, you know, platform or token or whatever it is that really doesn't do anything. Our focus was on how do you actually make meaningful change in this community. So that's always been our angle.
I find that very interesting. And yes, so Silk Road is one of the more interesting experiments in the use of the blockchain technology, Bitcoin specifically, in facilitating trade among various parties. Yeah, it's a very interesting story. So, Kofi, is this Mazuma GPT you are talking about, or was it a different project then and has evolved into Mazuma GPT now?
Okay, so as I said, our roots didn't necessarily start out in Web3. It was still called Mazuma, but then we added GPT just to give it more of a brand difference and to give it more of a better explanation by just, you know, hearing what the name was. But the whole idea has always been to build dev tools. So our dev tools were heavily focused on payments, primarily building a lot of APIs, to support back-end infrastructure for both developers and for enterprises. And our niche was, you know, doing that in the enterprise market. So we did a lot of that. We still have some products in that space that still work in the back end of some relations companies. But actively as a business, we are now exploring our AI lines and to seek to, you know, bring that to the blockchain market as well. We kind of want to be like an intersection between both worlds. Internally, we always use AI tools for our own personal capacity, like transaction monitoring and the like. But when we decided to narrow in down on using that for dev tools as well, this was one of the applications that came up. And then we, you know, actually took our time, did an entire technical analysis and feasibility study, and before we got to the stage that we are now. But I'm sure I'll go into that as we progress.
Awesome. Awesome. That's a very evolving journey you've had. So let me ask the simple question of, what is Mazuma GPT?
Okay, now to the fun stuff. So Mazuma GPT, very simple, generative AI, but for generating code, right? Specifically code, not text, not any other form of output, but generating code, but for low support languages, which are blockchain languages, such as Solidity and Plutus. So Mazuma GPT in a nutshell is a tool that helps you to rapidly generate code that you're going to build for your application, copy it, put it in your IDE, edit the code to fit your customization, and then you can push to testnet and then to mainnet. So in a nutshell, that's what Mazuma is, that's what it encapsulates. The focus is on making it as easy as possible for developers to be able to go from zero to one and to be able to, you know, launch out the applications and push it to mainnet.
That is quite impressive. In the era of AI, and seeing how we can leverage AI to help developers build applications that have impact, leveraging also on Web3 is a very, very exciting intersection to explore, right? So I can see how Mazuma GPT can simplify and democratize the smart contract development process by allowing anyone to express their logic and requirements in natural language. So, Kofi, what are the benefits of using natural language to generate smart contract code?
So the benefits are immense. One is what we realize is that usually, depending on the developer's logic, his logic usually has to match his skill level in being able to build the application that he's seeking to build. But what happens is that occasionally, or there's at least more than 50% of the time, sometimes the developer actually has a better idea in mind than what he's able to execute. So being able to talk to a platform whereby all you have to do is simply state the logic of what you are trying to build, and then the platform on its own creates everything that you are going to need to do to create that application, is next level. And this is what we, this, should I say, simplicity expressed through complexity of building a large language model is what we want to bring to the Web3 market. We've seen applications of this in other markets as well, and it's done pretty well. But then we thought to ourselves that why don't we actually build this for this community and allow people to be able to take their projects to the next level? I'll give an example. we had one of our users actually being the birth and death registry of a country. And they signed up to the platform to look at innovative ways in which they could be able to store people's records on the blockchain through a smart contract rather than the methodology that they have currently. So these are many more, of course, are the kind of applications that we see people building using our tools. And we want to support this as much as possible by even making it possible for them to do more with it.
I love this. This is basically AI for Web3 development. And this is specifically created for Solidity code creation and generation and Plutus. Plutus is Cardano, right?
Yes.
So I'm curious, why Cardano? I don't see much developer activity in the Cardano ecosystem.
Okay, so one, you're right. Solidity takes up literally 90% of the entire smart contract market by our research. There are some other protocols like Solana that have their own languages and the like, and several other smaller ones. But then what we realized with all of those ones were, if not all of them, have some level of, should I say, Solidity compatibility to EVM compatibility. So at the end of the day, you can still push to the Ethereum ecosystem. But then at the same time, we decided to take a little bit of a different approach with actually partnering with Cardano, because Cardano has a very big interest in emerging markets, primarily Africa. They have an entire fund, they've actually devoted about $100 million, which is just to help businesses in emerging markets such as Africa to be able to explore using the Cardano blockchain. So we thought it would be a good utility to also extend that as well. On top of that, we also have Cardano as part of our investors. So that is, should I say, the two-prong approach for that side.
Okay, so that's a reveal there. All right, so take me as a developer, right? Who is ready to build something? I have an idea and I want to build it. How do I go about using Mazuma GPT to generate code or create my product?
Okay, so using Mazuma GPT is quite straightforward. All you have to do is to go to our website, mazumagpt.com, sign up for an account. You'll be asked to verify the account. And then after you go through your verification process, you immediately get 5 free prompts, which you can use to be able to start exploring how, actually using natural language prompts works in a large language model like Mazuma GPT. And on top of that, you're also given some kind of walkthrough whereby you're shown how to prompt an AI or how to ask an AI to do things for you. So one, it has to be very clear. You have to explain what you want to do in detail. And on top of that, there shouldn't be any ambiguity. For instance, if you want to use a word that has two meanings, you have to be very clear to the AI so that he understands what specifically you want him to do. And then after that, you also have to state the programming language which you want to use to build, whether you want to use Plutus or Solidity, so that it knows exactly what you want. And then you put in your prompt and you hit go. And then immediately to spit out the code to you as per the specifications that you stated. Then we have a button that comes whereby you can copy and send the code to whichever development environment you're comfortable with, whether it's Visual Basic or Remix or whatever it is. And then from there, you can push your applications to the world. So using Mazuma GPT is very, very, very simple. We did, and now we've also added some additional functionality, whereby directly inside your Visual Basic IDE, we have a Visual Studio IDE, you have a plugin whereby when you install it, you can query it to generate code for you. So directly inside your IDE, you can generate code. And then we are also doing a remix extension for that as well, which would release before the end of the year. So we want to kind of cover all the ways in which developers build and be able to provide ways and solutions for all of them.
This is exciting. Y'all are cooking. Keep cooking. So instead of having developers, instead of having developers come to your site or your platform to use it, now you are taking it to the developer's environment with integration or by plugins into VS Code, where developers can easily access this tool to generate code or to create code for the ideas or to turn the ideas into working apps or dApps. That's exciting. That's exciting. You mentioned something about getting, you mentioned something about getting, is it 5 prompts? Does that mean that once the developer or the user exhausts that, they have to pay? And if they have to pay, what is the pricing mechanism here? Is it affordable?
Yes. So our plan for how to allow developers to build this, as I mentioned, you have 5 free prompts that allows you to interact with it, see how it works, be able to put in some sample code. But now for users who want to now go into production and be using it on a daily basis, we then charge a little fee. Our fee is $2 per every full code that you generate. So let's say you put in your prompts that you want to build whatever, and once the code spits out, we take a $2 fee. This is also something that we came to in terms of the pricing with a lot of feedback from different people around the world. But then as time goes on, we are even going to do more programs and packages to make it even more flexible for developers to be able to build. Because we also got some feedback for different people from the other side of the spectrum, if I should say. This is a continuously evolving model, and we are strongly excited by the fact that, you know, we are getting a lot of feedback from the community, so we get to be able to iterate and build the best product that they love. So yeah, that's where we are currently.
Okay, so I'm interested in the pricing and the code it spit out. So like you said, if you exhaust your 5 prompts, then you have to move on to a paid plan, and it's $2 per prompt. What is the limit or the length of code that is spit out? In other terms, if I want to build and ship an entire app with Mazuma GPT, do you have roughly how much that could cost me? And maybe in terms of measuring codes per line, how many lines can the $2 get me? How many lines of code can the $2 get me?
Okay, so thank you for that. So the way it works is, with regard to how much code can be generated for you at a go, it's really depending on the complexity of your prompt and your code. For some of the users that try to use Bluetooth to build something using Mazuma GPT, it gave them as long as it's hard to put an exact number to it, but it was a lot of lines. I think about close to about 200 lines of code, and the page just kept on scrolling, right? And for users who want to build, something which is, shorter, it then, created a small amount of code for them. So we don't really price it based on the complexity of what you're trying to build. As a matter of fact, you encourage people to make the prompt as, detailed as possible so that you can test the limits of what the AI will be able to generate for you. But it's purely based on how complex you want it to be. And in terms of how much it will cost to build a full application, what we realized was then some users like to build their application in bits. So they build this section of the application, engineer this section of the application, they build the application in parts and then they put it together. Some also like to do it as a whole. So it costs anywhere from $2 to $10, depending on your style of coding, whether you like to generate in bits and put it together, or you like to do it as a bundle.
That is exciting to know. So if you're a developer or you're a product manager or someone who works in building and shipping decentralized applications and you are listening to this, I hope you are getting a lot of insight into how you can use Mazuma GPT to help facilitate or make your development process very easy and efficient. So, Kofi, let's assume that we have generated the code. How do we ensure the quality and security of the generated code, bearing in mind that Web3 has a lot of security issues, or code generated in Web3 mostly have a lot of security issues, and there are hackers every minute trying to break into these codes or hack these protocols, and it's happening all over the place, right? Every other day, you hear that a Web3 protocol is hacked and thousands or millions have been drained. So now that we are using AI to help us generate code, how do we ensure the quality and security of the code generated?
All right. So thank you for that question. That's a very good question. And in approaching it, we looked at it from multiple angles. The first of which was the partners which we were going to use to partner with to build Mazuma GPT. Our approach was, in order to build a product of this complexity, we need to get the best tools, the best support, the best infrastructure that we can gather in order to build it. That's one. Two, there's no point in building a project like this if in the long run it's not going to work. So we partnered with NVIDIA. We are one of the few companies on the continent and globally who are part of the NVIDIA Inception program. It's a global program whereby they accept AI companies, so companies using generative AI, and give you all the tools that you need in terms of large language foundation models that we fine-tune in order to build what we do, in terms of the infrastructure, whether it's A100s that we need or H100s that we need in order to do the compute and the processing part of it, and then any other technical supports that we require. So that was the first thing. The second thing was we also took a very scientific approach to building Mazuma GPT. So we wrote entire scientific paper about our methodology that we use to build Mazuma GPT, which is called instruction fine tuning. And we went through the rigorous process of getting this certified by PhD professors at Cornell University in the United States. And now our paper is available for preprint and for publication. So this was to ensure that the technological level in which we were inputting into Mazuma GPT was of a very, 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 very high standard before we put this out onto the market. So that is two. The third thing is that we did an extensive code test or code review of all the, the type of codes that Mazuma GPT was generating, and made extensive customizations to them, to ensure that the code not only came out right in terms of the syntax, but also looked right in terms of the form in which it came in. So there was a lot of work that was also put into that aspect as well. And then the last thing is that to further ensure that everything that comes out of Mazuma GPT is correct, for users who want to push their product to production, you need to do something called a smart contract audit. Now, we've got the extra step of partnering with one of the best smart contract audit companies in the world called Hacken, H-E-C-K-E-N. They actually have their roots in Eastern Europe, whereby they have a very strong cryptology community. So we have a partnership with them whereby anybody who wants to move to production would get a very, very good discount by running their smart contract audit process through Hacken. So we've taken a very, 360 approach to making sure that every single thing that comes out of Mazuma GPT 1 is correct. And 2, before you go to production for your smart contract audit, everything is also checked as well before you move to live. So this is our approach to ensuring that the quality of everything that Mazuma produces is high. Yes, this is the process that we went through.
Those are a lot of processes. Kofi, you are all over the place trying to ensure smart contract safety.
That's interesting. 100%, because for us, everything that comes out of Mazuma has a stamp on it, right? Mm. So we have to ensure that once it comes out, there's no risk of hacks, there's no risk of vulnerabilities, nothing of this sort. And to ensure that, apart from us ensuring that the code is at a high standard, we also cover you on the smart contract audit side as well.
Wow. And the Hacken smart contract auditors are an interesting bunch. They've done some really, really top level audits for companies like Binance, Whitebit, UOB, One Inch. So that is that's a very high assurance right there. Excited to see that Mazuma GPT is partnering with such firms to ensure code generated are secure and are of quality, of high quality. And so, Kofi, could you share some tips for using Mazuma GPT effectively? How can developers get the best out of Mazuma GPT?
Okay. So apart from, I think, the earlier points that I stated about, taking your time, getting your thoughts properly together, making sure that the prompt is as detailed as possible so that the AI is able to fully comprehend what you're trying to build. Another thing we've got, another extra step to do, is to build something called a prompt library. So the way that works is it's kind of like documentation on how to use Mazuma GPT very well. So we've gone the extra step of going in detail to explain the type of, training data that we fed into the model, the way the model understands things and how it also puts out stuff, so as to make yourself an expert in being able to generate code using Mazuma GPT. So this prompt library is also available on our website. You can easily access it, be able to use it, and get the best out of using Mazuma GPT. Yeah.
Well, there you have it, friends, especially developers and product builders. Why start afresh when you can stand on the shoulders of giants, right? And that is what Mazuma GPT is offering. We are in a world now where AI is becoming a leverage and it's giving people superpowers. So literally, like, the amount of time that you need to ship a product or a project or a code or a decentralized application right now is like, it's shrinking, right? AI is shrinking it. So there you have it. A very interesting thing is I saw in the news yesterday that LinkedIn is laying off about 700 workers. And a lot of these people are engineers. And yeah, I know that one of the key reasons would be AI. So Kofi, this is a bit of a general question. And as someone who is creating or who has created or part of a team that has created an AI tool that is giving people superpowers or coders or engineers superpowers, how do you think this would affect the smart contract development market for engineers?
Okay, so we do realize these concerns when it comes to AI, that AI is a tool. We see AI as a tool, like water, you know. Water can be an amazing friend. It can help you to shower. You can drink it for life. At the same time, it can be a dangerous, you know, tool. You can drown in it and you can die in it. So in the same way, we view AI in this light. In as much as there's a lot of AI for good, AI can also be used for bad. But then the question is, how do you direct the future of how you want a certain technology to go like? Are you just going to stand aloof and look at the technology being taken on by actors or players in the market who might have some nepotistic view or some kind of adversary view as against players who would want to seek and get the best out of this technology? So our approach was, you know what, how can we actually utilize AI to help developers, not to remove developers? As you can see from our tool, at the end of the day, somebody has to go in to put in a prompt. Somebody has to copy that code. Somebody has to send it to testnet. Somebody has to send it to mainnet. Somebody has to put in the logic of how they want that code to actually be generated. And these are all supporting functions for how we envision, should I say, developers thinking about how they actually build products. So everything we build is to enhance the development lifecycle, not to eradicate the process of that actually hiring developers or even getting developers in the first place. So this is our approach to how we see AI. Yes, would there be some jobs that will leave? Absolutely. Because there are some roles that we, even in our own capacity, we feel like, you know, machines can do this extremely easy. So why should we devote resources to human beings to do? And as any business owner, it makes sense to be able to do that. But our aim is how can we enhance the current capabilities of what our current engineers even have? So if it was taking them a day to do what they were doing, how can we reduce it to 1 hour so that they can spend the rest of their time doing other productive things? And this is our focus using Mazuma GPT.
Okay, thank you very much. It's inevitable, right? That's the word. It's inevitable. And this is this technology. Dread it, run from it. AI arrives all the same. Some jobs will go away, others will be formed. But I think that as humans, there is no species that adapts like humans. So we will definitely find a way. So my next question, Kofi, is that, do you have, as a Web3 native project, do you have a token?
Okay, so thank you for that question. So from the initial start of it, we actually thought about, you know, functionality. That if we have a token in our ecosystem, what does this actually look like and what does this actually do? Is it on a custom blockchain? Is it on an existing one? So we went through a lot of ideation processes. And eventually we realized that, you know, there was no, should I say, clear need to do it apart from one. So one part of building, should I say, large language models, which is very crucial, is improving the model. So you can have the model at level one, but you want to constantly let the model learn new things to improve upon itself. And this improvement is what continually makes sure that the model is up to date, current on the market, and has the most cutting edge and tech out there in it, so as to allow developers to even build even better. But then we realized that, you know, in doing this, the methodology in doing this, as a team, there's only so much you can do. There's so much knowledge and content in the world that there's no possible way that even if you had a team of 10,000 people, you would be able to add every single thing to it. So our model, so improving our base of our AI model, our approach was to take a very decentralized approach to doing that, or distributed, for lack of a better simile. So looking at it from that perspective, the decentralization aspect comes in crowdsourcing, harnessing the best part of the open source community to help to improve the model. So for this reason, we have an incentivization scheme whereby for developers who contribute code which they feel is relevant code or training data that we should add to our large language model, what we do is we then compute how much your additional code improves our model by. And then we reward you with tokens, which in turn you can also use to generate code on the platform. So that is, there's that, you know, circular economy or circular community created in it. So that's the utility of the Mazuma token in the Mazuma ecosystem as of now. We do have some other exciting ideas down the line of how we would be adding more functionality to the Mazuma token in terms of, you know, our plans. But then we'll release that as time goes on as well.
All right. So how can devs or interested parties reach out?
So on our website, we have a form for developers whereby you can easily go sign up, put in your details, and let us know the code that, you know, you have to put the GitHub repository link to the code that you want to contribute to the Mazuma databases. We will then review that code, we'll assess it, so we have teams that will handle that, and then after I would tell you by coefficient how much your model is improving the Mazuma GPT model as a whole, and then you are awarded.
For the sake of transparency, the way you evaluate how much the code is worth, is it open for anyone to be able to assess how you do the calculations, or it's done internally and communicated?
Yes. So we will do that process internally, but we will communicate the process in which we went through to be able to achieve that, so that everything is very clear. So there are a lot of formulas that go into that aspect of things. So as I mentioned, it's a coefficient. So we kind of calculate it based on how much it's improving the model. So we'll tell you that maybe your code improved the model by maybe 0.12x. And we know that based on that, maybe every 0.01 is equal to one mass. So if you're using 0.12x, you do the math, and then you know how much mass you are getting as a result of it. So we'll have that calculation also clearly stated on the site as well, so that developers who contribute will know that they are getting their money's worth.
All right, sounds good. And we are about to wrap up in the next couple of minutes. And I'm interested in, can you share with us, Kofi, some of the success stories in using Mazuma GPT as far as developers or builders are concerned?
Yes. So with this one, I think I'd like to talk about the hackathons. We've done work with a couple, of which the largest was an Ethereum conference out of Accra, East Accra. And we had close to about 10 teams utilizing Mazuma GPT to actually create their code. And based on that, some of the developers also got prizes for the type of code that they generated out of Mazuma GPT. So that was a very, very exciting process for us. It was fun to see developers actually use it. And you know, most of the time we get the feedback from the users all over the world, which we aren't actually seeing physically. But being at the hackathon and talking directly to them, speaking to them about their thought process and how they actually generated the code and the likes, it was really exciting to see. So with Mazuma GPT, this is how we see it actually really changing developers' lives.
I was there at the Eat Accra Bankless Africa was course was a key member in organizing that event, and we saw firsthand how Mazuma GPT was helping developers build their ideas, and so yeah, it's exciting to see that African developers can now tap into some of these tools to help speed up their development process. And I also think that there is comparatively, the developer ecosystem in Africa is low, compared to other part of the world. And so seeing tools that can help developers and help people also learn the development process is exciting, and I think this is going to help the local developer ecosystem a lot, and so I would highly encourage any developer out there to check out Mazuma GPT. And so Kofi, your final thoughts as someone on the frontier of building tools to facilitate software development, what is your thought on the future of software development?
You just asked me a thesis question as my closing statement. Huh? Very interesting topic in terms of how we see it evolving. The first thing I have to say is it's rapid. It changes by the second. Every 1 month, there's a new model to implement. Every 1 month, there's a new protocol to work on. Yeah, so it's really exciting. It's really fast-paced. But then at the same time, there are some core fundamentals that remain the same, which is, at the end of the day, it's about making it as simple, as easy as possible to be able to use such tools. Because there's no sense in complexity. And a huge amount of complexity without any usability is pointless at the end of the day. So that is one of the strongest things that we see. In terms of other angles that we see, for now we've added AI to the code generation process, but we see AI, being involved in other parts of that software development lifecycle. So being able to enhance all other aspects of it, whether it's from pushing to Git to I don't want to talk too much on that side. We have some surprises down the line that we'll bring. But essentially helping across that entire cycle. And the bottom line of it is empowering the developer. How do we empower the developer? And we're really excited about all the things that are going to come out of it. Because the way we see it, this space is ever evolving. And we always have to stay abreast with keeping developers abreast. So that the developers themselves are always in tune with the latest things on the market and how to also implement them quickly. Because with the number of models that are being added every day, you probably can't learn everything in the world. It's kind of like you cannot know all the information on Google, but because you have Google, you know that you can always access the information. So you probably cannot code everything in the world, but because you have Mazuma GPT, you know you always have a chance. So that's what we want to do.
The future is looking promising and exciting. So very, very interesting episode that we've had today. Thank you very much, Kofi, for joining me today on the Bankless Africa podcast. It was a pleasure talking to you and learning more about Mazuma GPT. And I wish you all the best with your project and all your future endeavors.
God bless you all at Bankless Africa. It's so exciting stuff that I see coming out of your desk all the time. So excited to be on this podcast and looking forward to you doing greater and bigger things in the future.
Absolutely, absolutely. And thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in to this episode of the Bankless Africa podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and learned something new today. If you did, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform or share this episode with your friends and families. You can always follow us on X at Bankless Africa or visit our website, banklessafrica.com, for more content and resources on building a bankless future and a decentralized future in Africa. Until next time, stay safe, stay curious, and stay relentless. Peace out.